You guys can turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. You know, from the public reading today, and you see this throughout Scripture, there are a few times, brother, and this is, I think this is a good spiritual lesson for us in the body of Christ. And we should be friends. We're family. But even in the family of the body of Christ, you're gonna have people that are special friends. And that's a good thing, actually. Where it becomes a problem sometimes if it's special friends to the exclusion of others. Ain't that not ever a good thing? But special friends is good. Jesus, you know, He had the 70. He had the 12. He had the 3. He had the 1. And you look at Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah is even telling him, like, hey, go. And what's Elisha saying? Not going to leave you. You see those kinds of friendships throughout the Scripture. And man, we get to experience those. Isn't it nice to have somebody? Somebody who cares about you. We want to foster that in the body of Christ, don't we? There's the old song on the Jericho Road, there's room for just two, just Jesus and you. And that's true. Jesus will put you in positions where it is just you and Him. But also, by the nature of what God's designed through the church, man, it is sure helpful when we have a brother or sister that's a close friend that can help us along this way. So, honestly, one of the things we as a congregation need to work on is to keep fostering some of those super close friendships. It's scriptural, brethren, it's scriptural. So I want to encourage you to do that. I'm really, really encouraged by the stewardship and Lord's Supper today. They're gonna fit in well with what I get to preach on today. But Justin, it's really well said. You don't know sometimes till you're in the battle, and afterwards you look back and you see, hey, there's some things that, okay, this was good, but there's some area that needs some work. And I really appreciated what you brought over to us in terms of financial stewardship in that regard. And then, Josh, what you were talking about is really, it really isn't just what we do. It's why we do it. It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit that influences everything that we do. And you know what? Over time, that does become apparent, doesn't it? It really does. And so, certainly in eternity, that's the only thing that's going to stand. Is the why. And so today I'm going to actually work both of those things together here in Romans chapter 6. Just a reminder. And we looking at this, living by faith. Romans is all about faith. And this is a complicated math thing that Josh was talking about. Okay? Faith is not, living by faith is not easy. The difference between faith and law is not 2 plus 2 equals 4. It's not that simple, is it? It's more looking at like Caleb Goals, some of his algebra stuff at the end, and you're, okay, this looks right, this looks right, this looks right. Why is the answer not right? Oh, there's something. Caleb's really good at algebra, by the way, so he doesn't get many wrong. But where there's something little in there. And guys, sometimes faith and law can externally look very similar. But one bears good fruit and one doesn't. And why is that? There's something in there that we're not getting. In the book of Romans, that's what this is about. And so, I preached a few months ago, probably by now. It's about the process. God's interested in the process. Not just that you can miraculously end up with the right answer. Not that you can just put that right answer on the page, but how do we get there? And Romans continues to help us. God's working on our mind. God's working on our heart. Now, Romans chapter 6. I'm going to pick it up here today in verse 11 and read through verse 18. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful for your word. It is that lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. But we're thankful that within your word, it's not just the letters on the page. It's not even just the logical means by which these words flow together and make sense, although we're really thankful, Lord, that you are a reasonable God, and that when you communicate in a reasonable fashion. But Lord, it's the spirit of these words. It's what these teach us, not just from being able to recite the facts, but your heart as it comes through, your spirit as it comes through your words. That you do have spiritual words to communicate spiritual truths. And Lord, we're really thankful for that. We're blessed, Father, to be a part of your family and to get to receive your instruction. Lord, I ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, that I would communicate it clearly. And Lord, that we would, each of us, would understand and continue to walk by faith. And Lord, be able to look and say, how do we take that next step so that we can be those who bear good fruit? How can we be those who truly live by faith? More appreciative, Lord, for sharing with us the means by which you work in our lives and our part in this. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Now, we've been working on this, and God's view of us, and God's view is right. We're spiritual soldiers in His army. We are resurrected beings. True or false? Revelation chapter 20, it talks about the thousand-year reign of Christ, right? And in that, actually, let's turn there really quickly. Revelation chapter 20. Can't get too carried away here, or this short message is going to turn to really long. But Revelation chapter 20, let's just look at verse 6. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. What's the second death? Lake of fire. Right? Isn't that what Revelation defines as? This is the second death, the lake of fire. Those who have a part in the first resurrection, the second death has no power over them. True or false? Anybody who has been immersed into Christ has undergone the first resurrection. That's how the scripture defines it. That's the only way you can have a part in the first resurrection. You can't do this to yourself. This is something that God does. And we've been hammering away at that here in the early part of Romans chapter 6. And we've talked about dead to sin, and that's in the importance of that. But that's not the end of the story. Really, that's just, it actually gets rid of the past so we can get on with the story. The story is alive to God in Christ Jesus. And that starts in the waters of immersion. That's the beginning. We pop up out of those waters and God puts His Spirit. Don't go chronological on me here, okay? But somewhere, God, in that process, God puts His Spirit in us, right? And now, we have been born again. That's what God says. We've been raised to walk in newness of life. Man, what a beautiful picture. But now there's, and that picture is important because God understands. He made us. He knows what He wants. He wants our hearts to be like His heart. He wants our minds to be like His. He wants us to think the things that He thinks and to want the things He wants. So He made us. Guess where He's going to start? He's going to start inside. He's going to start with the circumcision of the heart. And then from that inside, then the external things that He wants, the righteousness, the practicing righteousness is going to flow from that. So two things that are very important for us to understand. The first is we cannot try to crank on the externals and just practice righteousness without the heart being changed, you will continually fail. We need God's work in our lives. And if you are not immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, you will never be able to truly bear the fruit of the Spirit in your life, because your spirit, you can never govern that way. It's only God's Spirit that can produce that in us. And so that's the start. But here's the flip side of that. The flip side of that is you can go to the waters and you can get immersed into Christ, and you can even do it with right motives and in faith. And if you stop there, you will never bear the fruit of the Spirit in your life. That old person will continue to rear his ugly head, and he will drive you. And that's who you will be. And people are going to look at that fruit, and it's not going to be right. And so God's really interested in, he starts inside, he starts in the right place, but he also is very practical about how we turn into who he wants us to be. And it's a process, and that's, you know, it's a fun thing about it, this process. Like Josh was saying, hey, there's, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. That's, if this is where you're at spiritually, and this is where you're starting, and you're getting this right, that's good. That's important. Because if you don't get this right, you'll never be able to get the algebra right. It drives me... it's my spirit. As a math teacher, I really appreciate math students who have their basic math facts down. Because then we can talk about real math. But if you don't get your basic math facts down, we can't go any further. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of my time. It's a waste of your time. God gives us some basic things, doesn't he? He starts with us here. So if you're starting, great. Keep going. Okay, but be happy with where you're starting from. Guys, some of us, if we're sitting in Algebra 2 class spiritually, and we can't remember our basic math facts, we have some work to do. We're going to have to take ourselves out of this, and we're going to have to go back and get some remedial math. Okay? That's okay. Like, you got to go back. It's a reality of it. You can't keep going forward without going back. So be honest. And Romans 6, it works with all this. And so we've been talking about the importance of replacing bad with good. And so the part we read today, really, Romans 6 goes on and it talks about slavery. Why? We've been freed from sin. Why would he turn this message back into a topic of slavery? We can approach this from a lot of different ways. But the bottom line, somebody did a song, and I can't remember who it was, but you're going to serve somebody. It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody. Who was that, Kevin?
Robbie Zimmerman.
No one is Bob. Okay, I've heard Bob Dylan. I don't know the. I don't know that stuff, but I've heard the truth, and I was like, I like that. That's true. That's scriptural. You are going to serve somebody, and so the scripture gets into this because it's at the end of the day, you are what you continually do. That fruit that Josh was talking about, that Jesus was talking about, that fruit. Represent, it tells who you are. You cannot be eating a grape from something other than the vine that produces the grapes. You cannot go and pick that from. That tells who you are. And so, bottom line is, we are creatures of habit. We are slaves of habit. Either slaves of righteousness or slaves of sin. Those are the two choices. And so Romans 6, he's dealing with us on this. It's not enough, guys, just to want to do good. Wanting to do good is a good start. That's why we're Christians, right? That's why we're here. We wanted something more in our life. We wanted to be righteous. We wanted the goodness of God. And we wanted to be imitators of him as his beloved children. That's why we came to Christ in the first place. I hope that's why we came to Christ. If you came for any other reasons, the fruit's going to let that know, I guess. But it's not enough to just want to do good or even know how to do it. If it was that easy, then video game champions would be professional athletes. I'm not good at video games. Don't play them enough. Don't have any intention of playing enough to ever be good. But I remember back my college days, I could run up the score on Super Tecmo Bowl, and that means nothing. Video game champions is nothing. You at some point, I will tell some, there's something to be said for some mental repetitions on things, but at some point you gotta go and do, don't you? At some point, you gotta get out on the field, and it's not even good enough to just practice, like Justin was talking about. You can train and train and train and train, and you can even think you know the people who provided some of that training. For that Spartan race, there are people who have done it before. So the training was specific in order to accomplish that purpose. But until you get out there and do it, you don't know what you need to work on. That's why the scripture encourages doers of the word and not just hearers who delude themselves. People who come up with business theories, there are a lot of people who come up with good business theories. How many of them actually are able to execute it and have a successful business? Very small percentage, right? Because God came up with the plan. The plan's good. Really comes down to, are we going to execute the plan? So, I think about when I first started selling shoes, and I have told you guys before, I was a shy individual. And I was 18 years old, and I remember I got hired to sell shoes at the Athlete's Foot, and doesn't mean that one of the requirements wasn't that you had to have it to work there. Okay? But nobody knows the Athlete's Foot like the Athlete's Foot is what they said. So when I first got there, and they're training me and spend the first couple days training, and they're just having me watch, right? And just watch and see how we do. And there's this guy named Lean, and he was good at what he did. And the owner, Tom Johnson, he was good at what he did. And I'm just watching those guys. Then I'm there on Saturday, and it's just slammed. Absolutely busy. And I'm sitting there watching. Finally, Lane's like, hey, do you think you know enough to actually go talk to somebody? At some point, you got to go do it, don't you? At some point, you got to go ask somebody. At some point, you got to, hey, what? And the things you don't know? I'm sure I wore those guys out the first few weeks with, oh, here, let me ask Tom. Oh, here, let me ask. But until you do it, you don't know what you don't know. You got to go for it. And so the Lord's telling us here, guys, we're slaves of habits. You can sit and read your Bible all day long. Which isn't, all day long might be a bad thing because it means you didn't do anything else. But you can do, if you don't go do it, it doesn't do any good. At some point, this picture that God gives us has to translate into practice. The imputed righteousness of God, His expectation is that that's going to become a practicing and a practical righteousness born out in our lives. These things that were once ministers of unrighteousness are now intended to be weapons of righteousness in this spiritual battle. Amen? So we got to train, we got to mentally train, and then we got to go do. And then we got to come back and watch the film. And Justin, we have to think about our race, and we got to think about the areas that we know we got to improve in. It's a good thing, guys. Justin and Nolan and Nikki, they all finished. That's awesome. And if there's things that Justin's like, okay, hey, I know this is an area I'm going to get better on. So next time, if I do it again, I'm going to do better. That's a good thing, isn't it? He's not sitting there mad at himself for, the one obstacle he didn't pass or whatever. Don't beat yourself up along the way. But this is important for us to be able to accomplish what God intends for us. It takes work. Bottom line, it takes work to do the right thing. Sometimes we wish it were easy. Kevin said, and I know what he meant in his class this morning, he didn't mean his literal word, so be careful. But we could wish it was easier. Sometimes I could wish it was easier on the surface. But when you think it through, you're glad it's not easier. Because, guys, if it was easier, we wouldn't be changed to the likeness of God. If it was a simple thing, if it was as simple as saying a prayer and asking Jesus into your heart, and you go on your way, and you never changed, and you're going to make it into heaven, that doesn't seem right to me. And likewise, if it was simple as getting immersed in a tank of water somewhere, and going on and just doing your own thing, and you're going to make it into heaven because you've been baptized, that doesn't seem right. It doesn't make sense. That's not what God is interested in doing in our lives. He is making us to be like Him. It starts in the waters of immersion. He does a work there. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But the follow-up is this, isn't it? The practicing righteousness. We know James chapter 2. Faith without works is dead, being by itself. Why does he put in those terms? How is that not contradictory to Ephesians chapter 2 or the book of Romans? Or the book of Hebrews that emphasize faith, 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 faith. How is James, Martin Luther didn't like that. James 2, that contradicts Ephesians 2. That contradicts Romans chapter 2. We're going to take the book of James and we're going to check it out. The book is straw. Shouldn't be in there. Wrong. The reason James, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, puts it in those terms is because anybody can say, in theory, I have faith. But real faith is born out in our lives. And if there's no bearing out of that faith in our works, then James, this is my paraphrase of that, then you are kidding yourself, you are lying, you have no faith. So real faith produces works. And a key point of practical and practicing righteousness, go with me to 1 John chapter 3. There's a reason in the scriptures, excuse me, that the Lord talks about practice. Practice. If you practice the wrong stuff, guys, you get good at doing the wrong things. The book of Hebrews talks about the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. God intends us to practice. 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Bottom line is, you are what you do. I was checking out Zoe today, and man, what a happy girl. And I was thinking? That's Mike and Katya's girl. And I just, my mind fast-forwarded 20 years down the road and seeing this beautiful young Christian lady. She's your daughter. How do we know that? Just like mom and dad. That's how we know that. I don't care about a DNA test physically. I know you know because she's like mom and dad. Guess what, guys? A spiritual DNA test. There's a... So, without getting into this too deep, there's many tests that we do in terms of chemistry and that kind of stuff, and there are tests that can give a false positive, but never a false negative. Okay? So let's use immersion, the dunk tank. The dunk tank can give a false negative, or a false positive, but never a false negative. If you haven't been immersed into Christ, you're not in. This is simple. But it can give a false positive, can't it? You can be immersed into Christ and not have God's spiritual DNA. How do we know that? Let no one deceive you about what you do. True? That's what Scripture says. And so we're interested, God's interested in producing His nature, His character, His righteousness, His heart, His spirit. We need to go down the line within us. And so, we got to find a way, guys, to put into practice that which we now understand. God's helped us change our image of ourselves in the waters of immersion. Now we got to start reinforcing this new picture through the practice of good habits. My dad talks about present, positive, affirmative, and it's in the scripture. Present tense, this is who you are. Positive, God speaks of the church in very endearing terms. We are His bride. We are His family. We are His children. such you are. 1 John 3, you go back to that, he starts off, you know, wow, what a great love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called His children, and such we are. That's beautiful. You're part of my family. I love you. God says all those things, present, positive, affirmative. They're statements by faith, right? And that's a good thing. But present, positive, affirmative in our minds can easily become present, positive, delusional. I talk about the theory all day long, and I don't do it. That's a problem. If Matthew Wilson's birthday today, and he got mom's and my physical genetics, but he isn't going to walk in the way of righteousness, which I'm thankful you do, but we would have problems in our family, and he would not live in my household at that age. Simple thing. Okay? Yes. What do you think our spiritual dad? His expectation would be, you're born again from me. You have my spiritual DNA. You grow up in my house. I expect you to take on my character. If you're not, something's wrong. So, practice. Practice. Please don't get discouraged, guys, if you're not where you should be. I got work to do. So I don't intend this as a message for you to go out there and say, man, I'm a failure, I'm done, I'm never gonna make, I'm not. But I do, what I want you to do is if Justin Bolton says he ends that race, he thinks back, think back and say, okay, I got some work to do in some areas and start practicing. There's a saying in the sports world, the eye in the sky don't lie. That means on film study, the day of the game, I can be blaming it on my teammates here, there, whatever. The day of the film study, you're sitting there in that film room with the coaches, and they slow that down. They hit pause. And they hit rewind, and they slow motion. And whose responsibility was that? The eye in the sky don't lie. There are a lot learned in film study. After battle. We got to do. And then we come back, and now all of a sudden this Word of God is really relevant to my life, isn't it? Now I can look and I say, oh, hey. Okay. I went for it. I messed up there. I got some work to do. Okay, Lord. What part of the game was that again? Okay. What do you have to say about that? Let's sit down with the coach and let's work. This is a good thing, guys. It's a positive thing. And then we go and we practice. It's interesting. Good coaches. A team goes and maybe they win, maybe they get beat, but maybe there's some things that were exposed, some areas of weakness. Guess what guess what the focus is going to be on the next week of practice? The areas we need to improve on. So practice is a big deal. I'm going to pick on Emma Schaefer for a second. I know Emma Schaefer's practicing her driving. Okay? Just because you get your permit doesn't mean you don't. There's a reason they have 50 hours or whatever, right? You got to practice. And then, we'll find out. The practice doesn't end after 50 hours. Even when you get your license, you continue to practice. And you'll get some new experiences you've never seen before. There might be a couple of, close ones. Okay? Not picking on just you, Emma. That's for everybody. You have to practice. There's no shortcut of that. Okay? Sterling Hofer is basketball. You got to practice. No shortcut. They say 10,000 times is the magic number in a physical realm. 10,000 times. You have to do something 10,000 times so you can do it without thinking about it. So you can just do it and execute it flawlessly. Now, I'm going to assume that's 10,000 times of trying to do it the right way. Okay? You do it the wrong way, you're never going to do it right. So, you know, the Lord's interested in us. We got to renew our minds, don't we? We got to practice the right way. You know, there's a lot of us, and all of us to some degree. You know, it's interesting. I forget who read from 1 Corinthians 6 today, maybe Mr. Simpson in his class. But there's a list of people who are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And then it comes back and says, such were some of you. You put all the lists in the scripture together, guys. Such were all of us. So, we got bad habits in place. And those bad habits are a result of bad thinking. So when the scripture says renew your mind, you gotta go back and you gotta change that thinking. Mr. Hopper, you say you have to get in there and you have to take out the old bad wiring. There's bad wiring in there. And you gotta put new one. You have to take out the old and put in the new. I've preached on this before, but I think of it as, you know, there are neural pathways that form in your mind from your thoughts. And the more times you take a route, the deeper those channels get, right? So what are you gonna have to do? If you're going to change the route, you're going to change what you're doing, you're going to change the way you think, you're going to put up roadblocks on the ways you don't want to go anymore, and you're going to start new ways. And you're going to start that new way, and you've got to keep starting that new way, and it's going to be tough going. And you're going to have to do it again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. And you might think, man, I'm only getting this far. Do it again. You get that much further. Do it again. Until that new pathway is natural. Guys, I don't want Christianity to be second nature to me. I want it to be my first nature. You understand what I'm saying? I want it to be, I don't want to practice it well enough till this is, I want it to be who I am. That takes practice. Repetitive practice. And we gotta renew our minds. And not only that, it's not just thinking. Like I said before, I guess I will say this. There was a young guy that I am friends with, him and his family, and he's playing soccer, and he's playing at a lot higher level than he's played before, and sometimes he's a little lost out there because he just hasn't played at that level before. And just encourage him. There's no shortcuts to this. He's doing a lot of things well, but there's no shortcuts to the repetition. There's no shortcuts to being in it. There's no shortcuts. Guys, there are no shortcuts to glory. So don't get discouraged. Don't get mad. Don't get sad. Don't quit. You just gotta go back out there and you gotta do it again. Learn as you go and keep learning, keep getting better, but you gotta do it. You can actually, and it's cool, the science of stuff, you can actually reverse effects of darkness in old pathways. You can actually renew them and take away those old effects of darkness by putting words and actions to your thoughts. It's not surprising to us. Everything that you know what the scripture says about our thoughts, our words, and what we do. Words and deeds are both fruit of our thoughts, aren't they? So, you know, Jesus knows what he's talking about. So, you gotta think the right thoughts, but then you also have to put that into practice, either in words. I think it's general progression to words and deeds sort of thing. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. I hope you understand what I'm saying. It is about the mind. And we do need to renew our mind. But again, if there's a sometimes there's a disconnect. I think I renew my mind by I sit and I read my Bible all day long. Just throw that out there. What do I do with that? I've known some people who know their Bible incredibly well. And they can't win one person to Christ because of their behavior. They come across as incredibly arrogant people. You aren't going to win somebody to Christ without caring about them, without loving them, without the fruit of the Spirit of Galatians chapter 5. Knowledge doesn't even make that list, does it? It doesn't mean there's some things we don't have to know. But knowledge by itself, the script says, makes arrogant. Love edifies. So please don't get me wrong. It's got to start from within. But that within does have to be translated into without. Otherwise, we're delusional. We're kidding ourselves. 1 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. To sum up, let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Pray through that one. Seems easy. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but what? Giving a blessing instead. See, there's a change here, isn't there? And it's not just a change in thinking, it's a change in action. instead of firing back with that next shot. Some of us are pretty witty. Some of us are, I think we all have amazing potential to fire back. We don't fire back. What do? We give a blessing instead. When we give that blessing, it takes preparation to do that, doesn't it? And then we got to do it. And when we do that, it drives it in deep. It's changing. Those the pathways that we take. I was thinking about Larry Miller and his recovery. You know, Mr. Miller's working hard on stuff. And there's some things that, you know, that he's pointing us to understand. And ultimately, it's the stuff up here that he got to form some new pathways up there. But you know what it takes to actually form those new pathways? Work out here. He can sit there and think all day long. But he got to do. And by doing, there's a two-way street, isn't there? And that's true in our spiritual lives, guys. It starts here. Don't get me wrong. But there is a two-way street. Walking by law says, I am just going to do stuff out here and it's never going to touch this. Delusional faith says, I'm going to think everything good up here and never do. True faith is a two-way street. We think and we do. And as we do that together, in accordance with righteousness, we're changed into the likeness of Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to preach on this for a long time. I'm just going to fast forward here a little bit. We're slaves of Christ. Jesus is a bond. Excuse me, a bond servant, right? We're bond servants. We're willing slaves. Because wouldn't you? Who would you rather have as your master? Remember the old one? Don't be like the Israelites who came out of Egypt. Remember the good old days? Come on. Give me a break. You were groaning. You were hurting. You were crying. God heard. I choose the Lord as my master. I want to be a slave. We're going to serve somebody. Okay? That's the practicality of it. And so sometimes, guys, to me, the big picture stuff is important. And in my personal life, I'll just say this, and I think all of us here have big decisions in our life. We've made kingdom decisions. That's why we're here. We chose to get immersed into Christ. That's a big decision in our life. And there's other big commitments and big sacrifices every one of us has made, because you can't be a Christian without those. But sometimes it's some of that little stuff. There's a saying that the devil's in the details. We chose to be partners with Christ, if you will, in His business, the King's business. Jesus, read King James, didn't you know I would be about my Father's business? We made those big picture choices, haven't we? But now it's the execution of the plan. It's the little stuff. It's those little things that we really got to work on. Ephesians 4, you can read it on your own later, but there's a practicality. You replace the old with the new. You lay aside the old and you put on the new. No more stealing. Labor with your hands. Guys, some of us here don't work. Work. Labor. Learn to work so we can share with others. The Lord wants, He wants to make these changes, doesn't He? He wants us to be, does Jesus say or not, my Father is working until now, and I myself also am working. God wants us to take this on. So, if this is where you are, that's okay. But you got to move forward. You got to take that next step. Replace the old with something good. Unwholesome words. Some of us, let's go a little stronger scriptural terminology. Abusive speech. Abusive speech, tough stuff, isn't it? It harms. Whoever said sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, that's somebody trying to protect themselves and build a wall here. I'd rather get hit over the head with a hammer than somebody say words that are going to pierce and harm me emotionally. Words are incredibly damaging. So what's it say? Oh, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. That's the old side we're laying, the old man we're laying aside. But rather such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Oh, you recognize the need. You think about somebody else. You care about them. You say, what can I give to help? And you say words that build up and that edify and that encourage. You give that blessing instead. What a beautiful thing. God has this set up for us to get, and we can go down through the list. So I'll just close today by thinking, I want you to think about a few things. That we've been bought with Christ. Jesus is our master. He paid a price for us. We need to glorify Him in our body. So, you know, how about at work? How are we at work? Are we like everybody else and complain about our boss, complain about the conditions, wish it was Friday? I'm not trying to minimize. I'm trying to say, don't we serve the Lord? Everything that we do, we work heartily as for the Lord. How about our interactions with people? The golden rule, be considerate. Value the soul. Do you think people know if you care about them? Just somebody, I'm just going to, I know I'm way over. I am going to veer off for 1 second. It bothers me, brethren. When I see fellow Christians eating out or whatever, and they're demanding of their server. I don't mean asking them, you know, they bring something to you and it's not right, you can politely say that. I'm talking about the demanding as... Didn't Jesus Christ say that he came not to be served, but to serve? It's just an example. It's a little thing, but it shows you where your heart is. We care about other people, don't we? We care about their soul. Maybe that person's having a really rough day. Maybe they're just a terrible server. I don't know, and it doesn't matter to me. Either way, they need Christ. Right? They need Christ. And how are they going to see that? Oh, I'm going to leave a 2% tip because they were... Somebody else teach them the lesson. Somebody else will stiff them. You don't have to do that. Give them whatever percent tip you normally give somebody and put an encouraging note out there. Just an example. Interactions with people. Husband-wife stuff. Your love and respect. Josh talked about a lot of these things. I'm just expounding a little bit upon them. Hey, the person you love the most, shouldn't you treat them the best? We can talk about new creation stuff all day long. And if you can't behave in your own household, you got work to do. It's that simple. I understand husband-wife relationships. That's not 2 + 2 = 4. That's the algebra 2 stuff, or maybe we even get into calculus. But what a beautiful opportunity, guys, to look in the mirror and say, I got some work to do. Okay. Thank you, Lord, for showing me that. It's showing my spirit still got some work, because the fruit of the Spirit should be love, joy, peace. We can go down the line. And this living by faith is a great thing. It's a process. And my intention today is not to make you feel bad if you're not where you should be. The intention of Romans, and Romans chapter 6, isn't to beat the tar out of you. It's to tell you God is with you. God is for you. And with God in you and working for you and with you and inside of you, you can exhibit His character in your life. That's where He's going with this. And that's His expectation. And so wherever we are, let's be honest. Let's pick it up. Let's live by faith. Let's work both sides of this, right? Let's renew our mind and let's practice. Let's renew our mind and let's practice. And God will accomplish then through us what He intends. Our purpose is to seek and save the lost. How are they going to be saved? By somebody caring enough about them to not just quote some verses to them, but to love them the way Christ did. And then they come to assembly and they see us loving each other the way Christ loves us. I love I love the way the Lord works in our lives, guys. He's doing it. Let's be willing participants with Him. And let's remember, these things, weapons of righteousness. Let's see it.